24/7, 365 operations. We just keep on. We're like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep on going. So I don't travel much, but I'm delighted to be here because it gave me an opportunity to put together this presentation, something I've been meaning to do for the longest time. I've been kind of flying by the seat of my pants in some of the presentations I've done in other congregations. You're the test bed for the new deal. So I hope this will work out well. As the slide says, I am assigned to the office of the Army Chief of Chaplains. You can just hit cancel on that, Phil, if you would. Thanks. We'll go there later. I am associate pastor for Military Ministry of Grace OPC San Antonio, Texas. Have been for nearly 20 years. I have a call from that church as a missionary to the military, and I'll be telling you about some of the stories of how we have seen people come to Christ. We have seen people taken into the membership of the church. We have seen people baptized. By having a rooted and grounded relationship to a particular congregation, by maintaining my credentials in the presbytery, I have been empowered in a way that I think that other denominations don't experience, even though they are evangelical and even some are Reformed, because I've been tied to a church. So I'm delighted to be with you as a congregation today and talk to you a little bit about military ministry. Let me see if I have as much success as Phil did getting this thing to work. Let us pray. What? Yeah. I did not qualify expert on this weapon. Okay. I am.
Yeah, maybe the batteries are getting low.
Okay. Let's
see. You want me to just
if you could co-pilot me on this, I'd appreciate it. Aha. When all else fails. Okay. There we go now. That's it. We've already prayed. I'd like to read. Yeah. Like I said, the tip of the hat to modern technology. I'd like to read to you from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul goes on in this passage to talk about why the gospel is so vital. The gospel is vital because the revelation of God in creation only ministers to our condemnation because of what we do with that revelation. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is known to them because God has revealed it in them. For ever since the creation of the world, God has made himself known, even his eternal power and Godhead, in the things that are made so that men are without excuse. I'm tempted to chase a rabbit. I won't do that. I'm tempted to talk about American contemporary culture and the moral freefall that we are in without a net. I'm tempted to talk about any number of social issues that only serve to reinforce how true the words of Romans 1 are in our society. I won't do that. I want to focus on how military ministry occurs in that context. This is where we're going to be going today. I'll talk to you a little bit about what I do, and then I'm going to introduce you to a few people. Let me advance the slide. I'll talk to you about a member, a minister, a deacon, a convert, and a leader. These are people I know, people I communicate with weekly or work with face-to-face daily. Each has their own story. All have touched our lives as God has been at work in theirs. They are only a few of the many. I guess it's probably time for the first commercial. I'm going to talk about 30 minutes. Usually when you watch a TV program, 8 minutes are commercials, 22 minutes are stories. So first commercial. If you go up on the OPC webpage, opc.org, click on our mission ministries at home and abroad. The first link you will see, because of alphabetical order, is the Committee on Chaplains and Military Personnel. comes before H for home missions, comes before F before foreign missions, even comes before CHR for Christian education. And if you click on that link, you will see two documents that is up, that are updated monthly. A plea for prayer and the military prayer list. Do you realize there are over 100 members of the OPC in active or reserve service as Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, or Civil Air Patrol? 100 members in a denomination of our size. It's remarkable. Every month, Bob Cooey, who is now on our committee on chaplains, updates that and sends it out and makes it available to our web servant. We don't have a webmaster. We have a web servant, Steve Pribble, who keeps our webpage current. I urge you to check that about the first week of every month so that you can pray for a military ministry. Second commercial, they usually come when you're watching TV, at least two in two, so I'll be done with this. This is The Guardian. Presbyterian Reform Joint Commission publishes this. You can pray for a military minister every day of the month if you subscribe to The Guardian. If you become a sponsoring church of a particular military chaplain, and I will leave this one on the back table so that your missions committee can find out how to do that, you can receive this as a church. You can pray for military chaplains from the OPC, RPCNA, and PCA one a day. And you are also able to learn more about our ministry, not only in military chaplaincy, but in institutional chaplaincy as well. My remarks are going to be focused narrowly on military ministry today. This is Dr. Victor Lynn. Some of you read his story in the June issue of New Horizons. For how many of you does that picture look familiar? Oh, we got New Horizons readers. Pastor, be encouraged. Victor is a Navy doctor assigned to a Marine battalion. Victor's life changed on the 9th of November, 2004. These are his words. Victor, I visited Victor at Bethesda Naval Medical Center at the end of November of 2004. And I looked at his legs, and they looked like the legs of a mannequin. They were badly scarred, burned, with bone exposed. He is so humble. I was seriously wounded. A suicide car bomber ran a car full of explosives into Victor's vehicle in a casualty evacuation convoy. Victor's driver, who was also at Bethesda, is in far worse shape than Victor. If you looked at the picture, Victor has suffered greatly. He's been subject to numerous surgeries, both at Bethesda and Balboa Naval Medical Center on the West Coast. He is now practicing medicine while he is in rehabilitation at 29 Palms Marine Base in Southern California. And is a testimony to the grace of God, not only in the healing of the body, but in the progress of a soul. This is one of your members. Just a member, just like you. Just a man pursuing a vocation. But serving God in the military through great tribulation and seeing God work. It's quite something to meet Victor. You almost sense a calm as soon as you come into his presence. I went there to minister to him, as other OP ministers in the Presbytery of Mid-Atlantic did. We were ministered to because we saw the grace of God at work in a man who was, to use Paul's word, hupomene, persevering in tribulation. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. That process was evident in the countenance of Dr. Victor Lynn, Lieutenant, U.S. Navy. Pray for Victor. That way. This is the David Stevenson family. Maybe some of you have seen this picture, New Horizons 2. David and Becky and Casey and Grace and little Davy and Emily and even Sam the dog are just another ministry family of the OPC. David's a member of the Presbytery of Philadelphia, former associate pastor at Bethany OPC, Oxford, Pennsylvania. Same family. Different uniform. David is now assigned at Fort Knox, Kentucky, as a basic training chaplain. He has a parish of 1,000 18-year-olds. Pastor, how would you like that? It's youth ministry in camouflage is what it is. And David, I had received a call from David's senior chaplain on Fort Knox, who just bubbled over with good news 2 days ago about the ministry David's having. David spent so much time in the field with his unit that his battalion commander had to order him home. Finally, and say, David, go home. That's an order. David leads worship in chapels. That's part of his ministry. He also leads worship in tents. You might say it's an intense ministry. It is an intense ministry. I've done the job that David is doing. I also was a supervisory chaplain for chaplains who do this. And you got 9 weeks of a captive audience at a teachable moment. The drill sergeants plow up the fallow ground and the chaplain casts the good seed into the rows. David, with the change that's taken place in basic training, with more time in the field, we have soldiers who go right from basic training to advanced individual training overseas. So basic training had to change. Colonel Mike Cloy, of whom you'll hear more, was part of the Human Dimension Laboratory at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, before he assumed command of 5th Brigade, 87th Division. And he worked hand-in-hand with the U.S. Army Chaplain School on that post to ensure that basic training was changed in a way that also included the spiritual dimension of the soldier. This is a unit ministry team. One chaplain assistant at the battalion level. The lowest level of assignment for a military chaplain in the Army is about a ratio of anywhere from 500 to 1,000 to 1. Like I said, it's quite a congregation. If you've ever tried to drink water out of a fire hose, you get some idea of what the ministry is like. This is Michael Cloy. He's a deacon, chair in OPC Hialeah, Florida. Michael and Debbie have been friends of ours for 16 years. Mason and I baptized in a small chapel in Ray Barracks, Friedberg, Germany. They became members of Grace OPC, San Antonio, Texas, at the time. As you can see, they've grown a little since then. Melanie, his sister, and Mason and Debbie and Mike are now assigned to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Mike is the commander of 5th Brigade, 87th Training Division. However, Mike is not in Fort Jackson right now. Mike is deployed in Iraq. He is in, well, we won't say where he is for operational security. His mission, his unit's mission, was first to be trained at Fort Carson, Colorado. That's the task force, 5th Brigade, 87th Division, to go over and train the Iraqi National Guard to defend their own country. Mike's brigade, he's the full colonel in the Army. His brigade is a 5-battalion brigade. It's approximately 2,500 to 3,000 soldiers. Is responsible to train units and then to test them to see if they have learned their training. And that's what Mike is doing right now. Mike has a brother named Russ. They are brothers by blood, they are brothers in arms, they are brothers in Christ, and they are both in Iraq right now. Russ is the secretary to the general staff of General Casey, who is one of the senior commanding generals in Iraq. It's kind of like, what was his name? Erastus. Ever read Romans 16? Greet Erastus, the treasurer to the emperor. God has placed in our military, many who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God, our sovereign God, our saving God, is pleased to place his men and his women in our military for purposes of ministry. They are in one of Saddam's palaces in the left picture, hence the chandelier and the pictures in the background. I don't know if you can see those. But Mike was converted at the University of Mississippi while in the ROTC program. They are through Reformed University Fellowship, a ministry of the PCA, and has been growing and going on with Christ ever since. I want to talk to you about long-term discipleship. I want to introduce you to a man named Don Williamson. Don was in my chapel in 1988 at Fort Benning, Georgia, when I was doing what Dave Stevenson's doing right now. This young man came up to me in the 9th week of basic training. He said, "Chaplain, I just want you to know I'm a Christian." I said, "Oh, really? How long have you been a Christian?" He said, "Oh, 8 weeks." Well, after I came down out of a 3-foot hover of joy that God had seen fit to bless the ministry of His Word with fruit, I encouraged Don. Don went on to be selected to become an officer at the Officer Candidate School. The story is far more complex than that. Time forbids the details. He met his wife while in the Army. She's a former Army signal officer. And they have four daughters, Hannah, Abigail, Rachel, and Keziah, that we'll talk about. Don became a staff worker with Young Life in 1993 and had a significant spiritual influence when, in the providence of God, Don and I were assigned to Fort Monmouth together, and my youngest and most difficult son, David, was part of the youth group at the Fort Monmouth Post Chapel. Don, the ministry had come full circle. Don had become a Christian under my ministry, and my son was moved towards commitment, greater commitment to Christ through Don's ministry. God is kind. God is very kind. Both of those lives have continued to bear fruit. We'll focus on Don. Don is now a regional director in Missoula, Montana. Young Life, after 10 years of active duty, he joined the reserves. Don just returned from Iraq. He's an MP officer. He went with an explosive ordnance detachment. That's what EOD stands for. He was one of the guys trying to avoid getting blown up by improvised explosive devices and mines while they cleared fields and defused the IEDs. That, at a detachment level, you have to understand, it's too low a level of unit of assignment in order to receive a chaplain. You only get a chaplain at a battalion or higher level. So Don effectively became the chaplain of this reserve explosive ordnance detachment that deployed out of Missoula and had a very effective ministry. I received an email, which I'm tempted to read to you. I wear the digital dog leash that all Army officers right now in the global war on terrorism do. Don has decided to become a chaplain. Don has finished up his seminary studies, a lot of it by distance learning, some while he was in Iraq. And he's applying to become an Army chaplain this week. He courtesy copied me on the email to the recruiter. This was just a couple of days ago. There are great rewards in this ministry, and I'm just sharing with you a few of them. They are too numerous to mention. The trials are great. The triumphs are also great. This is Hannah, Abigail, Rachel, and Keziah, Don and Sue Williamson's daughters. Notice the date. Notice the title of the slide. It's an article that was published included on one of the radio talk shows last September time frame. Don wrote an email, said, I'm over here in Iraq so that my children will never have to go through on the first day of school what the children of Beslan, Russia, went through a year ago this time. You may remember the story of how the Chechenian terrorists killed teachers, how children were wounded, left to flee with barely any clothes on, held hostage. And Don basically said, I'm staying here until I am sure that my children will never have to face that on the first day of school. The profession of arms is an honorable profession when it is performed honorably. It is interesting to me, and I almost read that passage instead this morning, that Paul uses the word minister two different ways within the scope of two passages in the book of Romans. He talks about his own ministry in Romans 12, and he talks about the civil magistrate who is a minister of God. He uses the term three times in 12 verses. Who does not bear the sword in vain. So all the people I've talked to you about so far are all in the ministry. Some are in the ministry of defense. Others are in the ministry of the gospel. Some do both. This way. I'd like to talk to you just a minute about the ministry in the Pentagon. You may have seen the article in the January issue of New Horizons. That's the Pentagon Memorial Chapel. In that stained glass window, of which you'll see a close-up soon, there are 184 red pieces of stained glass, one for every person killed in the terrorist attack upon the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001. The chapel has been built on the place where the plane attacked the building. that ground has been dedicated and consecrated to the worship of God and the free exercise of religion. Each of the windows, you can't see all of them to the side. Each of the windows is dedicated to a different branch of the service who had service members and government civilian workers killed in the attack. If you will go up on a website called www.eagleswatchministries.com, all lowercase, no apostrophes, all run together as one word, eagleswatchministries.org, you can take a video tour of the Pentagon Chapel and the 911 Memorial Monument, which adjoins it. Every Sunday evening, we conduct a service in the Pentagon. I conduct the service. I have a couple of PCA guys backing me up when I have to be away. I've lost both of them this summer, which is one of the reasons for which I ask your forgiveness. I have to hurry back. I will leave this afternoon in order to be ready for the service tomorrow. But every Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m., after your evening worship service, we conduct an evening worship service, a prayer service, an evangelistic service for those who work the 12 to 14 to 16 hour shifts in the Pentagon on the weekends and who do not have the opportunity to attend a civilian worship service. I sent Bob Cooey for this July's plea for prayer. By the way, I'm leaving you a CD in the machine that has this month's plea for prayer on it. All the photos that you've seen, you can use for missionary bulletin boards, however you want to use them, in addition to the PowerPoint presentation and the article by Patrick Crace, Operation Helping Hand, Operation Always Faithful, which can tell you how you as a congregation and as congregations can reach out to the military in your local area. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I ask your prayer. There's something about the building, which is how the Pentagon is referred to in the local area, as daunting. You walk in those halls and you realize where you are. And I pinch myself and I say, I've got to be dreaming. What am I doing here? And how did I ever get here? And what do I do now? It's very humbling. The Marines like to say, the few, the proud, the Marines. I like to say, the few, the humble, the OPC chaplains. Because we are few, and every day, as I said earlier today, we have the opportunity to exercise the gift of humility because the environment is so complex, so demanding, so bureaucratic that you get a chance to offer a heartfelt apology for a really stupid mistake at least once a day. It really ministers to your ministers to my sanctification anyway. So I ask your prayers, first of all. We have an unprecedented 12 chaplains on active duty. Paul Berghaus from the Presbyterian Northwest will graduate the chaplain officer basic course, Army chaplain officer basic course this fall. Pray for Paul. He'll be probably going to a unit which within a year will probably deploy. Paul, I saw 2 weeks ago when I was assigned for temporary duty to the chaplain school for a board. And he did a great imitation of a piano. He had a grin that was just as wide as it could get. He's obviously experiencing a great satisfaction in his call to military ministry. It's not all good news, however. Some of you are aware that we lost one of our senior chaplains to a sudden resignation from his presbytery. Lyman Smith, a dear friend, who I still stay in contact with, was received by the National Capital Region of the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. Lyman wrote a letter to his presbytery explaining the reason for his actions. The way I attribute it, while I don't agree with Lyman's decision, is the high-pressure environment. While I have complete freedom to preach the gospel, just as there are social pressures on you as civilians in your environment, to not speak concerning the gospel, there are pressures on us as well. NPR just had a piece 2 weeks ago on how, on what I would call evangelical paranoia. They're afraid of us. That's a good thing, in my opinion. If we're drawing fire, we must be advancing on strategic ground, in my opinion. If there are people out there saying there's too many evangelical chaplains, some of you are familiar with what happened at the Air Force Academy over the summer. an evangelical chaplain preach the gospel in a regular worship service. Not anything unusual at the Air Force Academy. Another chaplain assigned there, a female chaplain from a liberal denomination, took issue and took the issue all the way to Washington. And Congress got wind of it, and it was a bit of a mess. That chaplain who obviously was unhappy there was reassigned someplace else. And she took that to mean that she was being hushed up and moved out and made even more noise about it. Her time, she had spent her tour, her time was up. We move every 2 to 3 years. So evangelicals, according to NPR, and I'm sure that they're not going to give us credit for one more than they absolutely have to say, that 60% of chaplains on active duty are evangelicals. That's consistent with our figures. The other thing I want to do is distribute a tract and tell you a little bit about my boss, David Hicks, the Chief of Army Chaplains. David has been 40 years in the Army. He was converted under the ministry of a PCA chaplain. Now, Brigadier General Jim, now retired, he's moved out of the local area, and I'm over 50, so there went my memory right out the window. Jim starts with an H. Oh, I hate it. I'll remember it later. But David Hicks, in the tract you'll see, tells the story of how he came to Christ. He was a hell-raising buck sergeant at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Just pass them as far as they'll go. Share, please, among yourselves if you're interested. I'll leave a copy for the missions committee. David was a hell-raising buck sergeant at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, who brought his squad to the chapel for a class in what was then known as character guidance. And the chaplain said, "How would you like to start all over again?" He said, "Chaplain, I can't possibly live up to the expectations it would take for me to live the kind of life you think I should live." He says, "It's not what I'm talking about. You don't understand." Presented the gospel. David Hicks professed faith in Christ, got a call to the ministry. He was a wonderful evangelical man of God who is committed to taking spiritual leadership to the next level. I have just the privilege of seeing him from time to time. He's a general officer. I'm a lowly field grade officer, so unless I've got something to bring him for decision, I don't see him often. But he's a wonderful man of God. This is a picture at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Chaplain Hicks is here. Every year on the 29th of July, we lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns to commemorate the lives and the ministries of the chaplains who made the supreme sacrifice in the interest of military ministry. Chaplain Hicks will stay there until 2007, until he retires, and has asked me to remain there as well. He is a supportive leader with a vibrant Christian testimony. He's one of those people in whose presence it's a pleasure to be. I ask you to pray for these good folks, for Dr. Victor Lynn, for Chaplain David Stevenson, Colonel Mike Cloy, Captain Don Williamson, and Chaplain Hicks, and myself. As I said, these are a few only of the many. If you look at the military prayer list and the plea for prayer that's up on the OPC webpage, you'll get to see just how many there are out there who are serving God, serving Christ and country in the ministry of the profession of arms. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Paul says, "One will hardly die for a righteous man, though for perhaps for a good man one would dare, might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God?" That is the good news of which I am not ashamed. And the answer to the moral free fall in which our culture lies. And we only get to play with the cards we're dealt in the military. We can only draw citizens from this country. And so we are faced with the challenge of having to minister to people like Phil was describing earlier, people who have come from a generation of ignorance. So we ask your prayers as we hold forth the gospel as the word of life. As I believe it was Richard Baxter once said, to preach as one who'll never preach again, to preach as a dying man to dying men. What are your questions? I'll open up the floor. I've got a few minutes. Wait a minute. Here, it's the first question that's coming to me. Do you really have the freedom to preach the gospel without compromise? Yes. Next question. Sir. I get email contacts and other sources of reports. No, don't believe what you read in the papers. Got it. Please. The name does not ring a bell offhand.
Very, very fast growing church in Iraq. Original Syrian Catholics. And as a young lad, probably 4 or 5 years old, in their church, and found out later on his student that he was in Iraq. Went to college and seminary and comes back.
I have not heard of him, but there are other similar ministries that are emerging. Victor Atala's ministry is reaching some in Iraq. We have the opportunity to have missions there. It's a very sensitive situation, as it is in many other Islamic countries, but there are ministries like that going forward. Next question. Yes, please, sir. You just about have to have the same education as a doctor to become a military chaplain. You got your bachelor's degree, your master's degree, at least 2 years of pastoral experience. Although, for example, with Don Williamson's case, they'll accept his young life experience for that. You have to be physically in good health. You have to be age for the Army. You have to be age 40 or under. I think the other services are about the similar age threshold. We have raised that. I will tell you, we are short on chaplains. We are at least 200 short in the Guard. We are at least 100 short in the Reserve, and we are looking at a shortage of up to 50 in the active component at the entry level, unless we have a great quarter of recruiting this fourth quarter of the fiscal year. But those are the requirements. This side, yes, sir. Yes. There are no Father Mulcahy's in the military. Got it? Thank you. We don't have to do that. I don't do Methodist or Catholic or anything else. I do Orthodox Presbyterian. That's what I do. There are separate services. Depending on what faith group it is, there are also separate buildings. We have all kinds of people who come to us with all kinds of requests for exercise of their constitutional religious rights. We accommodate them. Where we cannot perform, we administratively provide. Someone asks me where and what the time and date and the point of contact is for another service. I tell them why. Because I want someone to do that for the Orthodox Presbyterians who come to them. I do unto others as I would have them do unto us. I do not have to participate in those services. I do not have to perform those services. I just have to ensure that every soldier's right to the free exercise of religion is upheld. It's an administrative responsibility I have as a staff officer. Sometimes I'm working off the chaplain side. Sometimes I'm doing performing duties off the staff officer side. But yes, I have that administrative responsibility, and I exercise it regularly for the reasons I've stated. There's usually a follow-up to a question like that. Where is it? I know it's out there. It's got to be out there someplace. Yes, ma'am. I have had indirect encounters. For example, in the basic training environment, when I was in that environment the second time, it was fashionable for kids to want to put Wiccan on their dog tags. It got really confusing when one Wiccan wanted to go to Friday night Erev Shabbat services down at the synagogue. It really got confusing. And he apologized and started weeping and saying, I just did this because the guy in front of me did it in the line, and I'm really a Jew, and I want to practice my faith. And we had to untangle that mess. I will tell you a story. The command chaplain of the U.S. Forces Korea, Sam Boone, who's a wonderful Christian man and a good friend of mine, encountered a Wiccan high priestess at Fort Bragg when he was the garrison chaplain there. And Sam was instrumental in leading the Wiccan high priestess's son to Christ from a jail in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Because we were willing to honor the law, we neither seek nor forbid. The Wiccan high priestess came to trust Sam Boone more than she trusted anybody else. And she said, I don't know anybody else who I would trust to go see my son in jail. Would you go see? With the Gideon's New Testament, he led him to Christ. So the opportunities are there. We do deal with the Wiccans. Commanders are very concerned about the Wiccans because the Wiccans have certain practices that are contrary to good order and discipline. And they're not allowed to practice those types of anything that's contrary to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, contrary to the Manual for Courts Martial, contrary to public law, Army regulation. They're restricted. They can't go what they call skyclad, which is basically naked in worship. Okay, they can't do that. They're not allowed to do that. There aren't. They're the small minority. About 2% of our... I've got my statistics here, and I don't want... I brought this just in case. Phil, I know I need to watch my time, so I'll be careful. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to continue in sin that grace may abound. It falls under other religions. It's not even on the radar screen. It's 0.7%. We are Muslim, 0.4%, Jewish, 0.3%, Hindu, less than 0.1%, 50% Protestant, 21% Catholic, 2% declared, 0.2% declared atheist, 0.3% declared Buddhist, no preference, unknown, 26.7%. That's where the mission field is. And it's out of those kinds of backgrounds that we have the opportunity to share the word. I know there's one more question, and there's that hand. Yes, Chuck. Far away. Chaplains are given graduate level ethics training, certain chaplains. Let's see, Jonathan Gibbs was one of the people who got that training. Who else? Some of my PCA friends have also gone through that. We actually advise commander on the application, along with the JAG officers, on just war theory and its application to specific conflicts. How rules of engagement are to be written in a particular combat theater of operations, how the conventions, Geneva and Hague conventions, apply. So, yeah, we do speak to that. We don't get involved in politics. It's not why I'm here. Just as Paul was not sent to baptize but to preach the gospel, I was not sent to politicize but to preach the gospel. Okay, any other questions? Going once, going twice? Thank you very much for your kind attention and participation.
This map shows the general geographical area of the Presbytery of Ohio.